Tracy led his sec team to the junction of three streets. They were walking easily, with no sense of danger. The bald man was still moaning.
I don't see why we can't just leave them to it.
Because Greyhorse wouldn't want that. Ethan wouldn't want that. Besides, the chief wanted you on the wall. It wouldn't be too impressive if he knew you let them slip by, would it?
You know as well as I do that you didn't send me to the sec post until after they'd gone.
Yeah, I know that and you know that, but would Greyhorse know that? Or Ethan?
You little prick, you'll pay for that one day.
Yeah, sure I will.
Their long-haired Asian companion had stayed silent. Truth to tell, he didn't want to upset Tracy, who seemed to be in charge right now while Greyhorse was gone. And he also didn't want to upset the bald guy Stark, as he was terrified of him. Best thing to do was to keep quiet. Besides which, he was nervous out here. He frowned suddenly as the morning sun caught a reflection that gleamed from one of the buildings across the way. Must be an old piece of window. Except, all the glass had been blown out of the storefronts opposite.
Oh, hell. Get down!
He realized that they were out in the open with no cover. He was torn between reaching into his coat for the M4000 or using the H&K he already had to hand. It was a fatal moment of indecision, for in the fraction of a second it took him to opt for the H&K, Mildred was able to sight and fire. Her ZKR was a precision instrument, and it was in the hands of an expert. Her aim was true, and the bullet drove straight into the long-haired Sekman's forehead, killing him instantly. As he fell, a reflex tightened his finger on the H&K, which was dropping in an arc. The fire sprayed around him, almost taking out Tracy, who leapt for cover, bringing up his own Glock to fire several rounds in the direction of the shot that had taken out his man. But Mildred had already moved into deep cover. She was out of range of the answering H&K fire from the bald sec man, and Tracy had no chance to sight and fire before his own battle was ended. JB had moved across the area between Michaela, whose Glock had caused the reflection, and Mildred, and had circled behind the healer, so that he could come at the two sec men from a third position just to their rear. He had the back of the tattooed sec man as a perfect target. The only one left now was the bald sec man, who had lost one burst of covering fire before retreating. JB was surprised when the bald man's H&K was thrown out onto the road, followed by a hunting knife and a Browning high power.
Listen to me! I figure you want Ethan down and your friends back. What happened to them sucked. I'm not the only one thinks that. Neither are you, Michaela. I'm coming out. Chill me if you want, but believe me when I say I'm on your side.
The bald man walked out into the center of the street, arms raised above his head, stepping over the corpses of his erstwhile comrades in arms. There was a pause while the three people in cover considered that action. Then JB stepped out into the open, blaster pointed down. Mildred and Michaela followed.
Well, what's it gonna be? My arms are starting to ache.
Looks like there are four of us now.
It was a simple enough plan, although not as easy to execute as it may have sounded. To isolate Christy from her mounted shadows, so that Jack and Doc could have time alone with the Titian-haired woman, they had to take her past the den where the Mutie raccoons were sleeping and loose the vicious beasts upon the armed men. As Jack outlined his idea to make it happen, Doc gazed doubtfully from a treetop across to where he could see Christy and her three horsemen making a line for the cops where they hid. Below them, Greyhorse, the inbred baron, and the traitor were still blundering around, looking for the two hidden men.
You got it?
By the three Kennedys. It seems simple enough, but I only hope I am agile enough to move at the speed you want. Remember, dear boy, Christy is younger and fitter than I am.
Yeah, but she's still fucked up in mind. You're not. Edge is off her.
There is only one way for us to find out if this is so, dear boy. Let's do it.
Jack clapped Doc on the shoulder. The old man felt his balance wobble in the branches at the force of the friendly blow, but it was a strangely reassuring gesture. Both men shinned silently down the tree until they were on the forest floor, and Jack made one final gesture at the direction of the path they would take. Doc nodded, his face set firm with determination. Jack set off at an angle that would take his path across Christie's, and Doc counted to three before hitting the trail, hot on Jack's heels. Doc and Jack made a lot of noise crashing through the undergrowth, making sure that they trod on branches that cracked, ferns that rustled. Doc kept an ear cocked for sounds from the rear of their trail, and was gratified to hear that Greyhorse, the Baron, and the Trader had picked up on their direction and were following. Although he wanted to keep them at a distance, Jack had been adamant that they have the mounted shadows following them. That way, he and Doc would know exactly where they were. Jack hit the open ground that bisected the copse of trees and took off across it like a hare with hounds at his tail. Doc felt his chest tighten with exertion as he sped after the albino, keeping him in sight as Jack veered toward the area where Christy was on the prowl. The albino was making a lot of noise, trying to attract attention to himself. Doc could follow his trail easily when they were back in the cover of foliage, and for a moment, the old man wondered if Christy would find this a little suspicious. But then he remembered the way he had felt before the hypnotic spell had cracked, and he knew that the lust for Jack's blood would overcome all precaution. So when he came across the woman, he was more than a little shocked. She appeared out of the undergrowth, clutching her .38 caliber Smith & Wesson blaster and angling it in his direction.
"Hold it right there!"
Doc whirled to face her, and the shock of being directly in the line of the barrel made him freeze.
"Oh, Jesus, Doc."
She dropped the weapon to a safer angle.
"Madam, I thought it was the albino we were supposed to be hunting."
"I heard the crashing, followed it, and
Well, you thought wrong. He's already passed through. And unless we hurry ourselves, we will lose ground on him. I have already had a couple of good shots at him, but he is as slippery as ever. I think I may have caught him with some shot, though, so he may be slowed a little."
Doc's improvisation put her in a frame of mind where she could be more easily duped. Christy's smile was cold and evil. Doc had to suppress a shudder at what he saw, knowing that not long ago he wore that smile. His train of thought was interrupted by the sound of approaching horsemen from two directions. They had to move now or get caught.
"Come, we are letting him gain ground."
Doc moved urgently toward the path Jack had forged. Christy followed him without hesitation, and together they plunged into a thick part of the undergrowth. Jack had deliberately chosen this path, knowing that the density of the undergrowth would slow the riders following in their wake. Doc led the way, with Christy hot at his heels. He knew what waited up ahead, but was a little unsure as to what form it took. He was apprehensive, to say the least, but had to trust to Jack's judgment. While Doc and Christy cut a swath through the forest, Jack was already at the burrows where the raccoons had their warrens. It was hardly identifiable as such, unless you knew what you were looking for. Jack could see the disguised holes in the ground that led to the underground nesting places, and he noted that they had built these dens near water, a stagnant pond lying nearby. A humorless grin crossed his scarred and otherwise impassive face as he heard Doc and Christy approach. Behind them, and losing ground in the restrictive environment, were the horsemen. Timing was now everything. Jack waited until Doc and Christy were coming into view, then took out his .357 Magnum, but he had no intention of using it on the approaching hunters. The sun was beginning to sink, and he could see that only about a half hour of daylight remained, which meant that the muty beasts, who were basically nocturnal, were beginning to stir. This was just the right time. They would be awake enough to emerge, yet not awake enough to move at their full speed. Jack crouched in front of one of the closely set holes and thrust the barrel of the Colt Python into the darkness before squeezing the trigger. The booming of the large caliber hand blaster was subdued by the enclosed space, which acted as a baffle, and yet the shockwave from the shot seemed to make the ground vibrate beneath his feet. Moving swiftly, Jack took three steps to his right so that he could put the barrel down another hole, ignoring the yowling of pain, anger, and fright that was already beginning to emanate from beneath the ground. He squeezed off another shot, with another muffled boom and a shockwave beneath him. The sounds of the raccoons grew louder as more of the colony responded in confusion, and some of those not damaged by the two shots began to make their way to the surface to attack whatever had launched this assault on them. Jack intended to be well out of the way when this happened. But first, he also had to avoid being shot by Christy, who had her Smith & Wesson leveled at him. Jack was already holstering the Colt Python as he turned to run, and he trusted to Doc to give him cover. The old man didn't let him down, knowing that they would have to move quickly to avoid being trapped by the beasts, and that he couldn't let Jack fall into danger. The old man had been keeping an eye on Christy. He saw her draw a bead on Jack, and chose that moment to make his own diversion. Doc raised the Lama, making sure that he would fire the ball chamber, and squeezed off a rapid shot before Christy had a chance to fire. He contrived so that the ball would go well wide and high of the mark, and also that he was able to convincingly feign a slip on the greasy surface underfoot, where the edges of the pond had turned the otherwise dry earth into a mud ball. Doc flung out an arm, ostensibly to balance himself, but it was contrived to catch Christy as she took aim and thus ruin her shot.
Doc, Doc, for fuck's sake!
Mea culpa, my dear, but let's not waste time in recriminations. We have to move quickly.
Even as he spoke, the first of the giant, muty raccoons was starting to nose its way out of the burrow. The two hunters skirted quickly around the area, intent on following the albino, although each for a different reason. They were quick enough to avoid the anger of the wild muties. The half-dozen horsemen following in their wake weren't as lucky. Slowed by the density of the undergrowth, Gray Horse, Riley, and the four hunt customers they were protecting weren't able to catch up with Doc and Christy before they were once more out of view. They did, however, come up against an army of muty raccoons who were hungry for blood, hungry for revenge against those they thought had attacked them in their lair. The inbred Baron drew his blaster.
What the hell are those things?
Like Gray Horse, Riley was carrying an SMG, which he set to rapid fire. The two Sekmen got in front of the four riders they were supposed to be protecting and began to fire random blasts into the wave of attacking animals. The muties would normally have turned and fled back into their warrens at the onset of such a barrage, but their blind anger and terror just drove them to attack.
Back! Quickly!
The barons and traders behind the Sekmen didn't need telling twice. They began to turn and retreat along the path they had just ridden. Gray Horse and Riley followed, trying to back up their horses so that they could keep firing and keep the muty raccoons at bay. The creatures were driven on by their anger, more pouring out of the tunnels, climbing over those that had been killed by the SMG fire. Gray Horse and Riley staggered their fire so that there was always lead in the air, even when one of the two had to stop and load a new magazine. They pulled back into the woods, leaving the air filled with a stench of blood and cordite. The raccoons emerging at the back were stayed by the smell of death that now formed a barrier of muty corpses between themselves and the retreating hunt party. Gray Horse and Riley finally stopped firing as they retreated farther down the path, the narrow way making it harder and harder to get a clean shot. The blonde Sekmen breathed heavily when they felt they were safe.
Glad that's over.
Yeah, but you know what? Now we've lost sight of the old man, the bitch, and the little white fucker. Who knows where they are now?
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
Remember when you could go to a movie for $3.50? Graphic Audio is a movie in your mind, and it can cost as little as $1.70 an hour. For what listeners, authors, and critics are saying is the most sensational entertainment of its kind. There's nothing else like it. Call 1-800-670-5220. Or log on to our website at www.cuttingaudio.com. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the container of this graphic audio book. Call 1-800-670-5220. See what's playing in your imagination.